Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart. I thank the Lord for another chance to speak from the heart. The Lord our God is good. His mercy always endures, and He watches over our lives in order to help us go forward. And His desires for us to have great things to happen throughout our lives is a remarkable desire. He's committed to it. I'm reminded of something that keeps coming up. I even heard it from others that there's so much more we can do. There is so much more that those who believe on Jesus is capable of. And those kind of facts will be known more and more as people endeavor to know Him. When I think about men striving forward in ministry, they're usually trying to grow a ministry that they can see. You know, Israel used to always want a God that they could see. They wanted to be like other kingdoms. They wanted a king like other nations. And they even worshiped idol gods, toys, wood and stone, things that people cunningly made. And they got conned. We can't see the living and true God face to face, but we can know Him face to face because He reveals information to us. As long as we're in this fallen world, we won't see Him as He is. And that's very important that we don't. Because we are made righteous by our faith. We have an advantage over angels that have fallen because they knew God, they saw His face, and they still denied His truth. We have never seen, and yet we believe. Even Thomas, he saw Jesus face to face. He put his hands in the wounds, and he believed. But he never saw God as He is. And no man has ever seen Jesus as He truly is. We've only seen His shell because He became a man. But when at the rapture, we're going to see Him as He is, and we're going to be perfect. See, our body has been purchased, but not, it still dies. Our mind, it's not fully renewed in this life. We can renew it as much as we want to. We can renew it enough to get the job done, to finish our course, even with flying colors. But when we see Him as He is, we will know. Our faith will be finished. We will be like Him. And we'll still be able to use our faith. The things that we can't see, we must take God's word on it. That's the foundation of our faith. That's our foundation. And that is faith, the faith of God. Because faith looks to God. And those who are in fear, they're looking to man. Those who are in pride, they're looking within for the answers of life. What they approve, what they think is right. Even their emotions. See, pride looks within, but faith looks to God. Even in heaven, you must take God at His word in order to proceed in life. There will be times that you won't know what to do. But when you can take God at His word, you are plain to see your best options. And you'll know. Because you're building on a solid foundation. There's so much more we're capable of. The word tells us what we're capable of. But just like in the other broadcast, one man taught me about authority, Chris Lucas, when I first got saved. I knew it existed. I understood it. I used to read the scriptures for fun. But when I heard it from Kenneth Hagin, he explained it. He talked about the visions and dreams that he had of Jesus and angels and how he learned about authority. And it works much greater than I thought before, from the time that I first got saved. Our authority, I'm using it for an example, it did more than I thought it could do. And it worked well. I would be impressed by the things that God would have me to do in His name. It worked fantastically. Other things do too. Even healing. As you receive healing, you can receive healing in all situations. You can win, you can get other people healed, you can inspire others to believe. And it's easy. Hearing the word. You can refuse to die. No matter what illness you have, you wouldn't be the first one to do it. You can command life in your body. You can claim immunity if you're poisoned, bitten by a poisonous reptile or spider or something. You can claim immunity. You have full authority, but you got to do it by your faith. The just shall live by his faith. We proceed by our faith. We can learn the greater things of God as we learn Him, as we cooperate and learn His word by faith. There's so much more to know. And the people who do know their God, they will do the exploits. Like we've been reading in Daniel. They'll do the greater works. They will solve the mysteries. You know, when Daniel was sought, the mother of the king said, this man was able to solve doubts. He could say things in a way where you knew it was true because he was anointed. He was the true man of God. And he was able to receive and proclaim the truth of God's word. Daniel, he gained the position that God gave him because he was able to tell the king the dream he had, which he had forgotten, and then he told him the interpretation of the dream that he had forgotten. Nebuchadnezzar forgot the whole dream, and Daniel told him what he dreamed, and then the interpretation of it, and it settled the king's heart, and Daniel made him second in command. He made him a president, and he did what the king said do. And then anybody that spoke against his God, the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, their house would be made a dunghill, and they'll be put to death. So Daniel became the president, the governor of the province of Babylon. Kingdom expanded and he was running. And God was using the army of Babylon to judge deception. Now bear in mind, Babylon is still the plain of Shinar, where false doctrine came from in the first place. That's the place on earth where men began to teach false gods, alternatives. Before that, that was just rebellion. Everybody knew who God was, but they rebelled against Him. And only 8 people survived the first age. That was Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and their wives. They survived the flood, the first world, because Noah built the ark. He and the sons. It took them 120 years. Now, the thing, everything happened according to God's plan. And Noah did all that was in God's heart. He did all that God told him to do. All of it. So that became my confession of faith. I will do all that God commissions me to do. And I will learn everything it takes to do it. I will receive it. When the Lord speaks, I will receive what he is saying. And I will not put my will first. I will not put my emotions first. I will not put anything first. My own wisdom, my own knowledge, nor my own understanding. And I will receive what he's saying, and I will ask my questions in order to be foundational and do the things God requires. Now, God loves us, and he has so much to do for us. He has so much to say. He's going to bless us in every way there is. And as we go forward, we learn who he is and what we're capable of in him. And our capabilities are, they're off the charts. The things God will release us to do will be amazing in the eyes of everybody. Now there's a scripture in 2 Timothy 2 and 4. I think I'm right, but it said that the times will come they won't endure sound doctrine. So if people will barely receive sound doctrine, they're not going to receive the move of God. They're not going to receive the plan of God. Because many people have apostatized. They've turned aside from the truth. And they are going to reject the living works. They will even reject the exploits. They will even speak evil against the goodness of God, along with the plan that he gives his people who love him. So never depend on cold religion. Never depend on those who are persuaded by the world system. And Christians who trust their emotions and not the word of God, don't trust them either. Even if you love them and even if you're married to them, trust the Lord. Trust his word. Trust what he's saying. Put all your trust in what the Lord is saying by his spirit, and you'll be safe. And only then can you inspire people to do what's right. Some of the people who will speak against what you're doing, they'll come around. And some will become an enemy. And who knows what'll happen. But as you do what God gives you to do, people are going to make a choice. I told all of my children, I said, everybody makes a choice. I said, you're going to make a choice, but just choose Jesus, and I believe they will. No matter what the background is, people choose whatever it is they desire. The kingdom of God is a volunteer army. People have chosen to be in the kingdom of God. They chose it. They didn't have to. God didn't make them. Because he wants everybody who follow him. Remember, Jesus is looking for those who follow him, who worship him, which is following him, who worship him in spirit and in truth. Anybody that will worship him in spirit and in truth, they will follow him. Because they love him. And they put him first. They put his word first, even though they could not see him or the end result that the word of God promises us. We're taking God and His word. We organize our life to obey God and His word. And His word by our own free will and choice. We're obedient because we love Him. We give offerings and we pay tithes and offerings because we love Him and we want to further the work of God. We're blessed by God because we obey Him. And when we have to, we sacrifice to do even greater works of God. A volunteer army. Nobody makes us do these things. Nobody. And the kingdom of God is stronger. You talk about freedom. Let's talk about willing freedom. Being willing to serve God day in and day out, no matter what the cost, no matter how long we pay the cost. And every day that God gives us before the rapture takes place is another wonderful opportunity to win people that we couldn't, that have not made their final choice. Another chance to get millions saved. That's how I see every other day, every day. Another chance to get millions of people saved. Another chance to broadcast the gospel of God. Another chance to love people. See, when the rapture happens, it happens. We'll be ushered into eternity. We'll be taken from our home, our house, our job, the earth itself. No matter where we are on the planet, we get snatched away. The dead in Christ will rise first. Those that are alive and remain will be quickened in the spirit. We'll be transformed to the spirit world. We get a brand new body and we'll see God face to face as He is. And we will be mature in the Lord. And we will be positioned according to our faithfulness and according to our love, the way we love God and the way we were obedient. That'll be how we're ranked in heaven. Those that were more faithful will do greater things. And people are no different now than they are then. You're going to want to be put forward, and you will be exposed for what you are. Well, the weak or strong, wise or foolish, you will be exposed for your choices. There will be no secrets. But your potential is still intact. You can grow as far as you want to grow. With those who commit to God and serve Him now, they're going to be promoted in the kingdom of God. That's the way it works. Those that are obedient will be the wealthiest in heaven. A lot of you have spiritual wealth on your life because you've been obeying God very long. And you've been doing the things that He's given you to do. And you've been faithful. And you pray for the people, you love the people of God, your motives are right, and you're going to be rewarded for your work. You yield to the Lord and you allow the Lord to use you, and you will be rewarded for it. And God, our God is not stingy. If He'll give a man salvation that deserves hell because he repents and believes, you know He's a great rewarder of those who walk by their faith. So walking by faith is the blessed way to do things. It's right. It's just. It's good. And those that do know their God will do exploits. They won't believe the lies of this world. They won't fall for the traps. In other words, they'll spring the traps and they'll help other people see and enter the kingdom of God. Remember, God loves us. He's looking for us to do the greater things. He's going to release the greater works to those who walk in love, those who obey Him, those who take Him at His word, those who trust Him because of their great faith. Remember, faith is trust before you see, and trust is faith after you've seen. You know God is going to come through. That's because in the past you had faith and he came through. Now you know him that way. You know he's coming through. You know you can take him at his word. You know it's going to be wonderful. Never stop believing God. Never stop taking him at his word. Never cancel out. Always hear him out. If he says a little bit, meditate on that little bit and ask some questions and get a little bit more. And by all means, the way you measure that little bit will be measured to you greater in your life. See, the greatest prosperity comes from small trust, from trusting God on the foundational level. You know, when the Lord saved me, I had no appetite for sin and from my spirit, man. And I desired to do what was right. And then I learned to fight of the flesh and the fight of the mind. I learned to hate the things that of this world that the enemy would tempt me with. I confessed it, I prayed it, I spoke the word over my life until it was certain, until it was true, until I didn't feel tempted anymore. And there's no limits with God. There's no limits at all. And the things he makes plain to you, they become plain, and you can do the things of God. You can do greater and greater. And I want to see him move in the lives of his people. Every day he gives us is another chance to do the greater works. And the greater works is the way we win people. We win souls by obeying the Lord. God is good. His return is very soon. And as God is preparing us to do the greater works. Never discount what the Lord is doing. It's going to be better than we can see right now. The Lord our God is mighty, and he continually moves in our lives. He's the one who helps us to understand, who brings things to the table that we need to know. Now, the Lord, his love is so great that he stretches forth his hand. And when we ask the Lord for answers, he gives us the answers we need in order for us to secure our future. He wants us to win, and he gives us the highest chance of knowledge. Well, the way he gives us knowledge and understanding and wisdom, there's a strategy with it to help us be promoted into his perfect will. He's trying to give us information. Sometimes with that, we have to be curious. We have to become a student. And he'll satisfy our curiosities. And there's a hunger with his words. His word wants to know him. When you receive his word, you want to know more and more. And when you get to the point that you reach out, you're reaching back to God trying to learn. And you're asking him questions and endeavoring to learn more. Sometimes that's what the Holy Spirit is after. Then he can train you. When he can train you, he can prepare you, and you'll be able to stand when others don't. So never, ever underestimate the works of God in your life. He has a plan, all right, and it's a good one. And he knows what he's doing. We have to trust his plan and not our own. See, the way that ministry is set up, it's not of man in the first place. It has to be received. The olive oil is coming from the olive branches into seven bowls on two lampstands. The information is being received from the Holy Spirit to mankind. And the seven spirits of God are the seven manifestations. In the very beginning of Heart to Heart, we covered these things. If you go all the way back to June, when the Lord first gave me the first Heart to Heart broadcast, we dealt with Zechariah and the vision of Zechariah. It hasn't changed and it's not going to change. Now, the Lord personally revealed to you every step you need to take. And you'll be, you know, you'll receive an instruction for every phase of your ministry, is what I'm saying. Not every literal step, but every step. We grow from glory to glory. Every step. Now, and that's the way it always was. That's the way it always will be. The Lord wants us to endeavor into what he's saying. And so it was with Daniel. Now, let's look at chapter 10. I love chapter 10. Chapter 9, he did an intercession to learn. But we're going to learn a very strong principle here in chapter 10. Verse 10 says, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed to Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long. And he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth. Neither did I anoint myself at all. To 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. This is called the Daniel fast. He ate no meats, no sweets, nothing pleasurable till he knew the answer. He was determined. He stretched forth to learn. Verse 4. And the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed with linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Euphaz. His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet in color like the polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. You know, the angels of God, they're not made of dirt. They're made of precious stones and precious metals. Okay, that's another story. But you see what's going on. Verse 7, and I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned into corruption, and I retained no strength. His body just collapsed in the presence of God is what he's saying. That's his description of the collapse. Sometimes in the church, when the Holy Spirit is moving, people just fall out. Well, that's what happened to Daniel. This is nothing new. It happened way back then. Yet heard I the voice of the words, and when, verse 9, yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood trembling. Then said he to me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before the Lord, that words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now notice that, kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days,
yet for the vision is for many days. Now he persisted. He had opposition from the kings of Persia. Now these were not human kings. These were demons that Satan sent to run Persia. And there were more than one. And they probably did, they did different functions. And this is what was fighting Daniel's prayers. But Daniel persisted, just like we have to do. We have to break through sometimes. We have to break through. We have to carry forth the word of God. We have to take it to another level when we have to take it to another level. Never stop. Whenever you notice that Satan's afraid of your works, dig in deep. Dig in deep and carry forth. Make it happen. Don't give up. Take it to the highest level until it is complete. That's my best advice. And that's also the commandment of God. And when he had spoken such words to me, this is verse 15. When he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground and became dumb. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake and said unto him that stood before me, My Lord, by the vision of my sorrow, my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can I, the servant of the Lord, of my Lord, talk with this, my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remains no strength in me, neither is there any breath left in me. He couldn't compose himself. And when you're in the presence of God like that, sometimes it's very overwhelming. That's what he was going through. Verse 18, then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and strengthened me, and said, O man, greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee. Be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened, and said, let my Lord speak,